Almighty Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name for another opportunity to come before you. Father, we ask that you would feed us again from your word, that you would grant us, Father, more of your Holy Spirit as we look into your word, Father, to gain a better understanding of your love towards us. Help us, Father, to understand your will in our lives. And we thank you, Father, again for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. As you reveal your implanted word to us, Father, we ask that it would have free course in us and that each one of us would rejoice, Father, for the blessings that you bestowed upon each and every one of us. Thank you, Father, again for our opportunities to come before you and do that which is right in your sight. We love you and thank you for all things that you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. And it's in Yahshua's holy name we ask all these favors and blessings. Continue to be with your the brethren, especially in Kenya and throughout the world, Father. We ask that you would bless them with a great feast, Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that each one of us would be raised on high, Father, throughout this sacred season. So again, we thank you for all that you've done for us and ask for all of these favors and blessings. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah. Who is Yahweh? The Pharaoh of Egypt posed this question to Moses in the book of Exodus. He soon found out that Yahweh, the Elohim of the Hebrews, is the one true Elohim and creator of all things. Thus, the Elohim of the Hebrews has distinguished himself from the pagan gods by showing he is real and they are not. We must conclude that Yahweh is the one true Elohim, and the mighty ones, or gods, of the nations are idols. Yahweh defeated all the gods of Egypt, showing he is real. Turn to Exodus chapter 5 for our opening passage of Scripture. That's Exodus chapter 5. And afterward Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, in this manner, says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is Yahweh, that I should listen to his voice to let Israel go? I know not Yahweh, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. And they said, the Elohim of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray you, 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to Yahweh, our Elohim, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said to them, why do you, Moses and Aaron, loose the people from their works? Get you to your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens. And the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as before this time. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and number the number of the bricks which they made before this time you shall lay upon them. You shall not reduce it at all, for they are idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our Elohim. Let heavier work be laid upon the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not pay attention to lying words. So Pharaoh basically threw down a challenge to Almighty Yahweh. He defied Yahweh because he felt Yahweh was taking his labor away. Yahweh was going to demand that his people keep a feast to him. And that's the time that we're in right now, the feast of Almighty Yahweh, the feast of unleavened bread, and the beginning of months, which we've been commanded to keep. Continuing in verse 10, it says, "And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spoke to the people, saying, In this manner, says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go yourselves, get straw where you can find it, for nothing of your work shall be reduced." So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. And the taskmasters were urgent, saying, "Fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw." And the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, "Why have you not fulfilled your task both yesterday and today in making bricks as before?" Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, saying, "Why do you deal in this manner with your servants? There is no straw given to your servants, and they say to us, 'Make brick.' And behold, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people." But he said, You are idle. Therefore you say, 'Let us go and sacrifice to Yahweh.' Yahweh commanded us to keep the feast." So we have a responsibility to do what Yahweh commanded. Now, who is Yahweh to you, brethren? You know, a lot of people look at things quite differently. They can read the same passage of Scripture and get totally different interpretation based on their background and how they were raised. In verse 18, it says, "Go now and work, for there shall no straw be given, yet you shall deliver the number of bricks." And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in an evil case when it was said, "You shall not reduce the number of your bricks, your daily task." And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said to them, "Yahweh look upon you and judge, because you have made our smell to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servant, to put a sword in their hand to kill us." So they were afraid. They were worried about Pharaoh's reaction to what Moses had commanded or asked Pharaoh to let the people go so they could keep the feast to Almighty Yahweh. How do you feel when you have to ask for time off to your boss to keep the feast? Do you feel like the Israelites? Do you feel a burden, that the feasts are a burden? Brethren, Yahweh is going to lift the burdens off of us. Yahshua said that our burdens would be light, our load would be lessened. In verse 22, it says, "And Moses returned to Yahweh and said, 'Sovereign, why have you dealt ill with this people? Why is it that you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has dealt ill with this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all.'" We feel the wrath sometimes of the people around us because of the name of Yahweh. And, you know, I remember one of my bosses, and, you know, he just couldn't put a finger on, I did everything, you know, positive to help in the office, and, you know, I was the head of certain committees, and, you know, I tried to do things that were positive and right, but because I worshiped Yahweh, it seemed like I had a big bullseye on my back. Because every time I turned around, there was a problem. And he seemed to be trying to come after me for one reason or another. And, you know, regardless of what was going on and what was out there, he seemed to continually come after me. But regardless, you know, I continued to serve Yahweh. I did not falter or give in to him. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Remember, this is entitled, Who is Yahweh? Because we need to proclaim this to the world, that Yahweh is the one true mighty one. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 19. What say I then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to Yahweh. And I do not wish that you should have communion with demons. You cannot drink the cup of Yahshua and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of Yahshua and the table of demons. Or do we provoke Yahshua to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And many people feel it's okay to participate in a different type of Passover. I was watching, I guess it was 700 Club this morning, and they were talking about the Jewish Passover, and they were talking about the Messiah, and they were looking at it from a Hebrew perspective. And it was different to hear them speak the way they were talking, even though they had commentators on there, and they did hit some of the points right. But for the most part, they didn't. But what they were trying to say is that he was saying that everyone should participate in a Passover because then they can understand the Jewish perspective of the Lamb of Yahweh. And they didn't use, of course, Yahweh. But this is why I'm bringing this out, because I want you to understand that there's only one Yahweh. Okay? There's only one Yahweh. And it says here, like when we're talking about keeping the Passover and drinking the cup, you cannot drink the cup of Yahshua and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of Yahshua and the table of demons. Or do we provoke Yahshua to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? No, we're not. We're subject to. And being subject to, we have to understand where our blessings come from. And they come from Yahweh. And we know who Yahweh is. And we have to share that with the rest of the world. Because they do not know who Yahweh is. They think they know. And as people think, well, I can just substitute the name and go about doing what I was doing and still worship, and I'm worshiping the right mighty one. But that's not true either. Yahweh is unique, brethren. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And we'll start at verse 15. But Jeshurun, the upright one, grew fat and kicked. You have become fat. You have grown thick. You have become sleek. Then he forsook Elohim who made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They moved him to jealousy with strange Elohim. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, which were no Elohim. And if you sacrifice to any other mighty one, as it says in the scriptures, that's who you sacrifice them to, demons. To Elohim they knew not, to new Elohim that came up of late, which your father dreaded not, of the rock that procreated you. You are unmindful and have forgotten El that gave you birth. And Yahweh saw it and abhorred them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. But they are a very, very perverse generation, children in whom is no faithfulness. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not El. They have provoked me to anger with their vanity. I will move them to jealousy with those that are not my a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger and burns to the lowest Sheol and devours the earth with its increase and sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap evils upon them, I will send my arrows upon them. They shall be wasted with hunger and devoured with burning heat and bitter destruction. And the teeth of the beast will I send upon them with the poison of crawling things of the dust. Outside shall the sword rob them, and in the chambers terror. It shall destroy both young man and virgin, the suckling with the man of gray hairs. I said I will scatter them afar. I would make them the remembrance of them to cease from among men, were it not that I feared the taunt of the enemy, lest their adversaries should judge amiss, lest they should say, our hands are exalted, and Yahweh has not done all this. And they are a nation void of counsel, and there is no understanding in them. Do we have understanding, brethren? Do we know who Yahweh is? Oh, that they were wise, and that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000, and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and Yahweh had delivered them? Trust me, Yahweh has delivered each and every one of us, brethren. He's given us the opportunity to serve Him, to be redeemed by Him. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, and we'll start in verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, draw out and take you lambs according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For Yahweh will pass through to destroy the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yahweh will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to destroy you. So Yahweh is protecting his people. Even though they murmured and complained, you know, about their task, because they had to make bricks without straw. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to your sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you have come to the land which Yahweh will give you, according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. So how long are we supposed to do this? Forever. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of Yahweh's Passover. It's not our Passover. It's Yahweh's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he destroyed the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped. Who are we supposed to worship, brethren? We're supposed to worship Yahweh only, and only him shall we serve. And the children of Israel went and did so, as Yahweh had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass at midnight that Yahweh killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up, go forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve Yahweh. Did he know who Yahweh was now? Did he find out who Yahweh is? Yes, Pharaoh became aware. He found out who Yahweh was. See, the Pharaohs believed that they were mighty ones themselves, even though they were merely men. But because they were the leaders of their nation, they felt that they were God. Take both your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And he's asking for a blessing. He wants Yahweh to bless him, and the Egyptians were urgent upon the people to send them out of the land in a hurry, for they said, we are all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they asked, and they plundered the Egyptians. And actually it's stated in a lot of different places that they were basically just getting their back wages. They were getting paid for the hard work that they had put into Egypt, building their pyramids and their store cities. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, besides children, and a mixed multitude also went up with them. And these are Egyptians and other people from other nations that were living there as well. Their flocks and their herd, even very much cattle, and they baked unleavened cakes of the dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not delay, neither had they prepared for themselves any food. Now the time that the children of Israel dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430th year, 30 years, even the very day it came to pass, that all the hosts went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed to Yahweh for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yahweh to be much observed of all the children of Israel throughout their generation. We are the children of Israel because we've accepted that covenant. We've entered into that blood covenant, accepting the blood of Yahshua. And Yahweh said to Moses in verse 43, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he shall eat of it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat of it. In one house shall it be eaten. You shall not carry forth any of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone of it. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with you and will keep the Passover to Yahweh, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. Now today, do we have to go out and circumcise everybody that wants to participate or keep? No. You have to have a circumcised heart. Your physical circumcision doesn't matter. It's the circumcision of the heart that matters. That shows that you love Almighty Yahweh. It says that all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. No uncircumcised person shall eat of it. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and to the stranger that sojourns among you. In this manner did all the children of Israel, as Yahweh commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the same day that Yahweh brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts. And that's very important for us to understand, brethren. Who is Yahweh? Yahweh is the mighty one of Israel. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45, verse 9. Woe to him that quarrels with his maker, a potsherd among the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who fashions it, what are you making? Or, your work, he has no hands? Woe to him that says to a father, what do you procreate? Or to a woman, what are you laboring over? In this manner, says Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of the things that are to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all the hosts that I have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will make straight all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let my exiles go free. Not for price nor reward, says Yahweh of hosts. In this manner, says Yahweh, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over to you, and they shall be yours. They shall go after you in chains. They shall come over, and they shall fall down to you. They shall make supplication to you, saying, surely El is in you, and there is no one else. There is no Elohim. Truly, you are an El who hides himself, Elohim of Israel, the Savior. They shall be put to shame, yes, confounded, all of them. They shall go into confusion together that are makers of idols. And those that worship idols, those that keep idols, those that promote idols, are all going to be like those idols. Done. But Israel shall be saved by Yahweh with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be put to shame, nor confounded, world without end. Brethren, who is Yahweh to you? We know Yahweh is our Redeemer. Yahweh is our Savior. Yahweh is the one that has given us salvation through his Son, Yahshua the Messiah. For in this manner, in verse 18, says Yahweh, who created the heavens, the Elohim, who formed the earth and made it, who established it and created it, not a waste, who formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahweh, and there is no one else. All the others are idols. I have not spoken in secret in a place of the land of darkness. I said not to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, Yahweh, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. And that's what Yahweh does. And this is why when we keep the commandments, we're considered righteous, because we're doing the right thing. Verse 20, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you that have escaped of the nation. They have no knowledge, that carry the wood of their carved image and pray to an El that cannot save. You think about the people of the world and who they follow and who they worship. Their mighty ones are demons or idols, and they cannot save. They cannot help them when trouble comes. You know, that's when people fall on their knees and they want to pray to Yahweh when they're in trouble. But I'm going to tell you now, you need to seek Yahweh now while he can be found. Declare you and bring it forth. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has showed this form from ancient times? Who has declared it of old? Have not I, Yahweh, and there is no Elohim besides me, a just El and a Savior? There is none beside me. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am El, and there is no one else. By myself have I sworn, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Only in Yahweh, it is said of me, is righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all they that were incensed against him shall be put to shame. And Yahweh shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. And the people like Pharaoh that believe that they're mighty or believe in one of these idols will fall down. They're going to bow. They're going to confess. If not, they'll perish. Because it's time, right now. It's time. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek Yahweh while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. And let him return to Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. So we want Yahweh to pardon us. Israel shall be saved by Yahweh, brethren. None other. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. We'll read down to 26. You shall therefore keep, shamir, guard is the word, shamir in Hebrew, all the statutes and all my ordinances, and do them, that the land where I bring you to dwell in vomit you not out. And you shall not walk in the customs of the nation, which I cast out before you. For they did all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who has separated you from the peoples. Now, he did that for a purpose. Sanctification means being separated for a holy purpose. You shall therefore make a distinction between the clean beast and the unclean, and between the unclean fowl and the clean. And you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by bird or by anything which the ground teems, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy to me, for I, Yahweh, am holy, and have set you apart from the peoples that you should be mine. So Yahweh has made a separation between the peoples of the world and Israel. Israel. Those who rule with hell. He separated us for a holy purpose. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. We'll start in verse 32. It says, moreover, concerning the foreigner that is not of your people Israel, when he shall come from a far country, for your great name's sake, and your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm, when they shall come and pray toward this house, then hear from heaven, even from your dwelling place, and do according to all that the foreigner calls to you for, that all the peoples of the earth may know that your name and fear you, as does your people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by your name. If your people go out to battle against their enemy, by whatever way you shall send them, and they pray to you toward this city which you have chosen, and that's Yerushalayim, the city of peace, and the house which I have built, the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, for your name. That temple was built for the name of Yahweh. Then hear from heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against you, for there is no man that sins not, And a man that comes to you and tells you he is not, has never sinned, is a liar. And we know that there's no truth in him, because it tells us in the Word all men are sinners. The difference is you got to be a repentant sinner. You got to be sorry for your sins. And you are angry with them and deliver them to the enemy so that they carry them away captive to a land far off or near, which he did to Israel. He sent them off into Assyrian captivity. He sent Judah off into Babylonian captivity. But he said that he's going to recall, and he did. And there's going to be another redemption, another call to bring the people out, because Israel, the 10 northern tribes, never came back from captivity. But Yahweh's going to call them. He's calling them today to come back to him. Who is Yahweh? Yahweh is the Mighty One of Israel. And you are angry with them and deliver them to the enemy so that they carry them away captive to a land far off or near. Yet if they shall reconsider themselves in the land where they are carried captive and turn again and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, and have dealt wickedly, if they return to you with all their heart, and that's the circumcision, brethren. That's when their heart is circumcised, when they turn back to Yahweh with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, where they have carried them captive, and pray toward their land, which you gave to their fathers, and the city which you have chosen, and toward the house which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven, even from your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, O my Elohim, let, I plead you, your eyes be open, and let your ears be attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Yahweh Elohim, in your resting place, you and the ark of your strength, let your priests, O Yahweh Elohim, be clothed with salvation. And let your saints rejoice in goodness. O Yahweh Elohim, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Remember the good deeds of David, your servant. He made promises to David that he would always have a king on the throne if they were faithful. And that king, that everlasting king, is Yahshua the Messiah, that sits on the throne of David. So Yahweh is fulfilling his promises. Yahweh is keeping his promises to his people. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30, we'll start in verse 1. And the words of Agur, the son of Zekai, the oracle. The man says to Ithiel, to Ithiel and Ukal, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man, and I have not learned wisdom, neither have I knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended up into heaven and descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? Every word of Eloah is tried. He is a shield to them that take refuge in him. Add you not to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. Two things have I asked of you. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lies, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. And brethren, Yahweh is feeding us daily with the food that's needful for us. Lest I am full and deny you, and say, who is Yahweh? Or lest I am poor and steal, and use profanely the name of my Elohim. If we violate the covenant, brethren, if we violate the covenant of Almighty Yahweh, we're going to profane his name. He knows that we are only flesh. Who is the mighty one of your life, brethren? Is it your money, your wife, your husband, your children? Anything you place before Almighty Yahweh is an idol. This includes your illegal or legal drugs, cigarettes, or alcohol. Anything you must have. The only thing we must have, brethren, is Yahweh and Yahshua the Messiah. Turn whatever it is over to Yahshua that is between you and Yahweh. Turn it over. Because Yahshua can help you overcome it. You must want Yahweh to be first in your life, brethren. He must be more important than your physical food. Yahshua said he's the bread of heaven. Second Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him Yahweh had given victory to Syria. What does it say there? Because by him, we're talking about Naaman. By him Yahweh had given victory to Syria. And Syria was an enemy of Israel. He was also a mighty man of valor, a giver. But he was a leper. So he had a flaw. And the Syrians had gone out in bands and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maiden. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet that is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his master, saying, in this manner, and thus says the maiden that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, and now, when this letter has come to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I Yahweh, am I Elohim to kill and to make alive that this man sends me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me. So the king of Israel was worried that the king of Syria was going to, you know, come war with him because of this matter. But he was looking at things linear. He was looking at things on the carnal level. He wasn't looking at it on a spiritual level. And it was so, in verse 8, when Elisha, the man of Elohim, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, why have you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha, which means my El is salvation. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of Yahweh, his Elohim, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He was upset. And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather then when he says to you, Wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan. The word is Tavah. He baptized himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of Elohim. And his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of Elohim, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no Elohim in all the earth but in Israel. Can we say the same, brother? I'm telling you, we have to say it. Yahweh is the only living mighty one. We know who Yahweh is. Now, therefore, we have to act like it. Now, therefore, I pray you, take a present of your servant. But he said, As Yahweh lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, If not, yet I pray you, let there be given to your servant two mules burden of the earth, for your servant will from now on offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice to other Elohim, but to Yahweh. And in Exodus 22:20 and 23:13, the passage tells us that we should not offer sacrifice to any other Elohim except to Yahweh. And this thing may Yahweh pardon your servant when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, may Yahweh pardon your servant in this thing. And he said to him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Naaman received a blessing. He received the cleansing because Yahweh is the mighty one of Israel. He was the reason that Syria was above Israel. Because obviously Israel had sinned against Yahweh, so therefore, you know, Yahweh gave Syria the power over them. But see, the Israelite maiden, this little maiden that had been taken in a raid by the Syrians, told Naaman that there was a mighty one in Israel, and that the prophet of that mighty one could heal him. And he did. He healed him because he believed, he had faith enough to go and seek Yahweh's servant and receive that healing. What about us, brother? Do we have the faith to receive the healing, to receive the blessing that Almighty Yahweh has prepared for each and every one of us? The Israelite maiden's methods and her motives were pure. She received the blessing, I'm sure, because once, I'm sure, Naaman got back to Syria, he probably released her. He probably gave her her freedom. It doesn't say that in the text. You know, I'm not trying to add to the word. I'm just trying to, you know, show you that people are blessed regardless of what your stature is. She was a servant. She was a slave, a captive in a foreign land, and she was still praising Yahweh in her condition. What about us, brethren? Do we love Almighty Yahweh? Do we love Almighty Yahweh? I'm not asking for amens or anything of that nature. I just want you to think about it. And you can read on later about Gehazi and how he went after and received leprosy for his motives, which were not pure. But who is Yahweh to you, brethren? Is he the creator of all things? but just someone you call on when there is a problem. I want to wind this message up. I have a few more scriptures. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they turn back and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, before Baal-Siphon. Over against it shall you encamp by the sea. And Pharaoh will say, 'The children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will get honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, and the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh.'" He wanted them to understand who Yahweh is. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was changed toward the people. And they said, "What is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made his chariot ready and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over all of them. And Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. For the children of Israel went out with a high hand, and the Egyptians pursued after them. And all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camp by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Siphon. And Baal-Siphon is the lord of the north. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were greatly afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to Yahweh. And they said, see, they were in trouble. So they cried out to Yahweh and said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt thus with us to bring us forth out of Egypt? Is it not this word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'?" Now, serve Yahweh, serve the Egyptians. You got one on one hand, one on the other hand. Which would you rather do? "Is not this the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And guess what? They ended up dying in the wilderness, didn't they? And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh, which we work for you today, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Yahweh will fight for you and shall hold your peace." And Yahweh said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward and lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go into the middle of the sea on dry ground. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall go in after them. And I will get honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh, when I have gotten honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of Elohim, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, yet it gave light by night, and the one came not near the other all that night." Brethren, Almighty Yahweh loves his people. Almighty Yahweh wants his people to be blessed. In Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear." So we have to come before Yahweh straight. We got to come before Yahweh without sin. Job 42, verse 1 and 2. Job 42, 1 and 2. "Then Job answered Yahweh and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be restrained." No purpose can be restrained. Do we believe and trust Yahweh? Too many people today do not. That's why our purpose is to let the world know who is Yahweh. Yahweh is our mighty one. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1:18. "For the wrath of Yahweh is revealed from heaven against all lawlessness," that's all violation of the covenant, "and unrighteousness of men, who hinder the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of Yahweh is manifested in them. For Yahweh manifested it to them. For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and majesty, that they may be without excuse. Because that knowing Yahweh, they did not glorify him as Elohim." And that's one of the things we have to do, brethren. We have to continually glorify Yahweh. "Neither gave thanks." Not like the people in the wilderness who died in the wilderness because of their sin. Every man died in his own sin, "but became vain in their reasoning, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible Elohim for the likeness of an image of a corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed beasts, and of creeping things. They made idols to worship. For this reason, Elohim gave them up in the lust of their hearts to uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. For that they exchanged the truth of Yahweh for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause Yahweh gave them up to passions of dishonor. For their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men working in decency and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was due, of their error which was due. And even as they refused to have Elohim in their knowledge, Elohim gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to Elohim, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing the ordinances of Yahweh, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them." We, brethren, cannot be like that. We know who Yahweh is, and we have to keep the covenant law. For our closing passage, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll start in verse 11. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. "But you, O man of Yahweh, But you, O man of Yahweh, O woman of Yahweh, flee these things and follow after righteousness, holiness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto you were called. Whereunto you were called, and did confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. I charge you in the sight of Yahweh, who gives life to all things, and of the Messiah Yahshua, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession, that you keep the commandments without spot, without reproach, until the appearing of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, which in its own times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Sovereign of rulers, who only has immortality, dwelling in light unapproachable, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power eternal. Amen. Brethren, Yahweh is our Redeemer. He is the one who saved us from our sin by giving us a blood sacrifice, his only begotten Son, Yahshua, our Lamb of Yahweh. Who is Yahweh? Yahweh is our Mighty One. He is the one that we have chosen to worship because he is the only true living Elohim. And may Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to go forth and serve him. At this time, I'd like to ask Javier to close with a word of prayer.
Okay. There was a great message, Greg. I enjoyed it.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. There was a great message. Okay, please bow for the word of prayer. Sovereign Yahshua, please help us to continue serving you faithfully, day by day. Please keep us humble and teachable, knowing that you, Yahweh, alone are our mighty one, the one who gives us life, health, clothing, shelter, strength, they will give us everything. Please be with us and give us peaceful rest tonight and bring us again in the morning or at noon to continue serving you, Yahshua. The mighty God with us forever. In Yahshua's name we say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Final song is going to be song number 31. Oh, you may want to stop the recording. Song number 31. Shout to Yahweh.
Conference muted.